about, and that is the lies that women believe about sexuality. This chapter was not in the chapter of the book edition when I did it the last time. This is a new chapter that was written by somebody else along with our author. And so I'm not going to go into too great detail in it, but it is something for several different reasons for us to face, because it is our culture's problem, okay? And there's no way to skirt around it, and that's why she had to include it in here, because of the over-sexualization of our culture. Women have gotten affected more and more and more. And frankly, it's taken me as a pastor a little while to awaken to the depth of problems that many times women get into, because they're bombarded by technology, bombarded by situations around them. And so, you know, this is something that you would think, well, this is just for young women. But I have found, from those of you that live in retirement places and all, this is an up-to-date problem for any age, and which is tragic. And we're reaping, by the way, the sins of the 60s in the older generation. That's just the way it is. And so we need to, but we just need to have the right perspective. So I trust I'll be able to give a few things here that I trust will be a help to you. So many, and the very first lie here is, I can't tell anyone, speaking about a person's past. And I think it's very important that she started with this, because this is probably the problem that's been around longer than what's been developing. And that is that many, many ladies live with an enormous amount of guilt that goes into shame. And so there are a lot of different things about the sexual realm that there is just fear to get help in, fear to communicate about. You know, I'm dealing right now with the development of Renew, which has taken some time here. But one of the big issues is, what do you do about the wife? And this is something wives don't want to talk about. They don't even want to know many times. In fact, I've had a wife get mad at me because she just looked at me. I had a suspicion, but I didn't even want to know. I'd rather live in ignorance. And I said, no, you don't want to live in ignorance. You are to be a helpmate. And we got to work on this thing together. And thankfully, the marriage did hang together. But it was tough. That was a while back. But it, so these are, you know, and then ladies especially, if they are viewing improper things, for sure don't want to talk about it, because it is unnatural. But it is part of the pressures of our day. A lot of ladies live with the guilt of abortion. That has just become so common. And there's a lot of women that have that in their past. And honestly, obviously, we have to preach life. We have to preach the sanctity of life. But in doing so, that if it's a lady does not deal with that, it can just be a constant source of discouragement instead of help. And by the way, let me just say this right now. On any sin we've ever had, the way you get freedom is to agree with God about it. And if appropriate, to actually use that as part of your testimony. But to hide it or to excuse it will imprison you for the rest of your life. Okay, everybody hear me on that? On any aspect, I deal with the matter of divorce and remarriage. It's a big deal. And so you can take it two ways. You can either agree with God about it, or you can try to excuse it. And God will greatly bless if you just say, no, I agree with the Bible now. This is what happened, and I'm living with that, but yet God can bless. And so there can be great freedom. And then a broken down relationship with a husband. We find, of course, you have young adults not wanting to get married. And so they unfortunately tried to be married without being married. By the way, that's pagan culture. Pagan culture does that all the time. Well, that shows how pagan we are, but they won't let you know that that's what's happening. I have been lied to so many times about that. It's really something. And then I think one of the things that is a real problem is the high number of ladies that were not treated properly and abused in growing up or in their dating relationships. And it is very, very common. In fact, it was a statistic maybe 15 years old or more, and I think I've said it here a couple of times, but back then, it was 60% of women were violated in their childhood. That's just astounding. I don't know what it is today. I just got to say it's off the charts. I haven't seen, I'd like to get an actual, but almost anybody I counsel, I face that with them. And so that has a great deal to do with a Christian lady that's trying to do right, the struggle in her life. Now, I talked about this several weeks ago. Guilt is from God. God has given us a conscience. He's given us His Word. The Spirit of God, the Comforter, will come and He will convince the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. So it's healthy to be face guilt. I mean, you hear preaching all the time, and you're not trying to necessarily make people guilty, but you're wanting to confront them with the Word of God and let the Holy Spirit do what needs to be done in their life, because you can't go anywhere unless you know you've done wrong, agree with the Scripture, and then take a step of faith to go forward. So guilt must be dealt with God's way, and God will cleanse. Once you have confessed your sin, you've got to accept the clean heart and realize that God has forgiven you and you can be free in your relationship with God. The problem is, and this is Satan's trap, and this has been spoken on here a number of times, not in here, but I did mention it a few weeks ago, but that it goes into shame and it becomes your identity. In other words, you always see yourself as what happened to you in the past, either what was done to you or what you decided to do. Okay. Especially in the sexual arena, for women, God has given you a protection. He's given you an ability to understand the importance of relationship. And when that's been violated, that very much affects a woman in her perception toward herself. And by the way, we need to maintain for our young ladies, they need to realize that they need to be chaste, and they need to be protected to be chaste and to be fully clean. And mothers need to be talking to their girls. They need to be helping them along this line. And because there is a protection, and God can, when a young lady desires to do right, God can put a deep conviction in her soul to be extremely moral and chaste, and that is a wonderful thing. But this shame really does cause many, many good women to suffer and not grow when they should be growing. And unfortunately, the matter of some of abuse in the past causes shame. Even if it was not the fault, it's amazing how people will blame themselves. And so either yourself, or if you know someone that's had that and they've never communicated, or of course if you knew it, then they've communicated, but they need to deal with it. I don't care what age, what stage in life it is, you need to get help and get a freedom on that and no longer be marked by or identify yourself with what has happened in the past. Now, if you were fully responsible, for instance, immorality has been so common, unfortunately, if there was an abortion, if there has been some other broken things in your past, you need to deal with that, confess the sin, get the help that is needed, and then quit marking, don't identify yourself on the basis of that sin. You should identify yourself as beloved by God. a child of God, fully forgiven, and we are what we are by the grace of God. No one is any better naturally than anybody else. We're all sinners. And when you come to the glorious reality of God's grace and accept that forgiveness, it is vitally important. And Satan has used this. You wonder the largest group of liberals and leftists today are not young people. It's older white women, because they can't handle their shame, and so they are angry, and they are knocking down the institutions and all the other. They can't stand Christianity that they feel is causing them that shame or any kind of thing like that. And so they're trying to defend all of these things, and they're unhappy. And those big No King rallies, even the secular media, the liberal media was saying, well, this is sort of unique. This is not even young people. This is ladies in their 50s, 60s, and 70s. And they're not even from any ethnic background. It's just there's a lot of guilt and a lot of shame that is there. So that is very important. You need to be defined by Jesus, not defined by your sin. That's for anybody. Oh, you can say, oh, wretched man that I am, like Paul said, but I thank Christ Jesus my Lord. You now are a believer, and you have a relationship with him, and you are gifted by him. And the whole key is to agree with him about sin. And again, if you would have been violated in the past, you need and can't get freedom on that, that needs to be dealt with. And you need to get freedom on it. You really do. That's a tool of Satan that is horrendous, and it's very major. And we have to navigate that kind of thing quite a bit. Let's think about it. When you think about the woman at the well, she was pretty much the lowest of the low in Samaria. Wouldn't you agree? And yet when you hear woman at the well, that's not what you think about her. You think about her as a lady that was saved and brought people to Jesus. And she was actually the key of the great revival that happened after Christ ascended and the Spirit of God came, the great revival in Samaria. And so she was used of God. And so, it's amazing. I know the backgrounds of 95% of everybody in our church, and I don't think about that at all. I see everybody as new creations in Christ, and I just marvel and thrill at the grace of God. But so often the case where folks will, not deal with things and just constantly even think people are looking down on them. Constant insecurity, constant inferiority. And don't minimize sin of the past that you've done, but realize God, agree with God and live for God now and realize he's forgiven you. You don't need to live with that. And if things have happened, God will free you, and you must learn to release responsibility on that. That's one of the key things. So, it's very important as this lie talks about, I can't tell anyone, I can't deal with this. That's not true. You bear that burden alone, and when you're not able to get freedom on it, but it's got to be, by the way, the right kind of person at the right place. Okay. All right. The next one is, and this is a real problem, and that is that sexuality is separated from spirituality. Remember, the way we are made is God's idea. For many, many women, because of our corrupt society, sexuality is seen as bad, dirty, and wrong, which is a great hindrance if a woman is married, if she has that kind of concept. Now, is a lot of the way it is expressed in our culture bad, dirty, and wrong? Well, yeah, so it was back in Paul's day. Satan is forever trying to take the gift of God and wreck it. And he hates us, and he's constantly trying to get us to be viewing it as that. But God designed it to becoming one. Genesis, we have God bringing Eve to Adam. In fact, it was so perfect and right, there was not even any shame and nakedness in those, as we find. They were not ashamed. Genesis chapter 2, it was sin that brought in the need for the covering, which is vital today. And so the whole concept of the intimacy that is found in marriage, and of course the greatest intimacy is emotional, empowered by the spiritual, but then expressed in the physical. Okay. We get it all backwards. And so we need to understand that the whole matter of physical intimacy is God's idea. And of course, that's how we have population. Okay, let's just be honest about it. You see a beautiful little baby, well, that came out of intimacy. You know, it's a wonderful thing. And the whole thing's supposed to be beautiful. It's all supposed to be just right, you know. And so we have to get out of our minds. And I think ladies really struggle with it, because especially if they were not treated properly as they were younger, or not treated properly in a marriage or so forth, they can see it, or they just see all the junk. By the way, reading romance novels, watching full-length movies, they always are just constantly giving the wrong concept of this. They put that first over, they're defining relationship based upon that. And that's why you've got to protect young ladies from that kind of thing. You know, I've said so often, as I deal with problems with young ladies in particular, I immediately will recognize they have been watching modern films. I mean, they are definitely being entertained the wrong way. Did you know young ladies and young men can be kept pretty innocent if you turn off the technology? We've got just a few young mothers here, but they honestly don't need smartphones. They honestly will survive. And you can get finders on their keychains if they're driving. If you were in my office as much and hear what I hear, you would see the skull and the crossbones on a smartphone. You'd see it as the worst kind of poison. I know you can shut them down, but you still can't shut down the world out of it. I say it all the time, but I plead with you. You're investing your life into children or grandchildren. Protect them, protect them, protect them, protect them. But getting back to this, you know, we need to get back to God's concept that it is beautiful, that it is right. And if you've had some bad experience in your past, not only can you have freedom in having a sense of no more guilt, no more shame, but you can also have get a proper perspective on this. It's very important that we get back to a biblical concept on everything. You know, that's why, just ladies, I try to resist compromise everywhere I can. Because if we don't take the Bible seriously, that's no longer the way we get freedom in our lives. Because if you can't believe it for every part of your life, then how are you going to believe it about these kinds of things? And I'm right now teaching right over there, the classes, and studying now because I'm here, the freshman on philosophy of church ministry, but we're going through church history. And the key thing that you'll find that anytime there was deviation through the different movements of the church throughout history, it's always been a neglect of the Word of God. Not putting the Word of God as central. Always that's the key. So it's very important to not have a wrong view. Many of you here are not now married. You were, but not now are married. But it's important for you to have a wholesome, godly view of this, and don't let even your past experience taint you as you talk to maybe younger women about it. It needs to be a very godly perspective, a very positive perspective, And you need to get freedom in your own soul and not have shame or guilt from the past. It's very important. And there are temptations. Now, let me just be blunt about it. There's more problems with because of the access to technology. We talked about the young ladies. I really wonder if the skull and crossbones ought to be on some of our instruments to warn us about the poison that is there. And this is difficult to talk about, you know. With men, I'd be pretty blunt right now, you know. But anyway, trying to be appropriate. The next lie is, this is who I am. I've already somewhat covered that. And so it's very important to realize that God can give you a right view of yourself and a right view of this regardless. And if this was a couples retreat, I would get into dealing with the fact that, it's sexuality is spiritual. Did you know the physical intimacy can be a worship of God? It's not wrong. It's right in marriage. It can be empowered by the Spirit. It should be. Two Spirit-empowered marriage partners should have the blessing of God. Should be freedom, no sense of guilt, no sense of wrong. But because of relationships not being where they ought to be, lack of closeness, and so... there's just so many angles. I heard a message, I was the main speaker at a couples retreat in Chicago recently of a number of churches, and it started off with the leader of it speaking on this subject. He did one of the most beautiful jobs talking about this, most appropriate, but so healthy. And I was so glad to hear him talk so directly and bluntly and yet appropriately about it. All right. One more lie here. God's standards for sex are out of date. You can either have the shame and guilt, or you can try to excuse it and go the other direction. And that's a disaster, a disaster. God's standards are so up to date. I'm telling you, statistics prove it. Medical research proves it. The happiest people and those that are most satisfied in the physical relationship are those that are in marriage and love the Lord, period. That's just the way it is. And by the way, people will say, well, you know, the Bible doesn't really deal with this. Are you kidding? Man, I remember as a kid, I was embarrassed reading parts of the Bible, but my dad told me I did not have to be afraid of reading any of God's Word. And you know, you learn the right things from the Word of God. It deals with it. And not out inordinately, but it does. And so Christian women need to be walking with God and agree with God. So I'm going to end with these commitments. Commitment number one is, I don't engage in sex outside of marriage. And of course, God deals with fornication. A number of verses are listed there. Adultery, homosexual relationships, impurity, obviously prostitution and lustful passions, sodomy, obscenity, and incest. And the Bible could not be more clear. It even graphically says it. And I'll tell you, if we just believe the Bible, we would pretty much eliminate all the heartache in that whole area. Commitment number two, sex within my marriage is mutually pleasing and happens on a regular basis. That ought to be a commitment. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 is pretty clear about that for several verses. And you say, well, I struggle because of my past. I struggle because our marriage isn't where it ought to be. This would be a whole set of messages that I need to preach, but you need to make that commitment and realize that the power of God can cause some of the complexities. And whether your husband is saved or not, walking with God or not, you need to be praying to have the right attitude in this whole area and to follow what God says in it. And then, one of the things that is so new in our day today, and I'm just going to have to quickly end with this, I have to have an outlet for my sexual desire. It's not what the Bible says. You say, well, I'm a sexual creature. Yes, we are. We have that till we die. That's good. But the only outlet for sexual desire is where? Within marriage. Case closed. So therefore, viewing, reading, or any other expression of sexuality outside of marriage is always condemned by Scripture. You've got to believe that. Cannot God meet your needs by His power? He can. That's a lie of the devil, and you will actually set yourself up for a very, an addiction. Because sexual addiction is one of the hardest because it's part of who we are. And of course, I have to deal with men on this, but women have sometimes the same problem. So, okay, I am glad to get done with this chapter. I made it. So, yeah, okay. You can't say I haven't tried to cover everything, folks, but you notice I did sort of step around things there. But there is victory in Jesus, and God does it right. So anyway, but take these things seriously and encourage others to do right.